Chapter 13, Luke chapter 13. I've titled this, The Savior, a Sister in the Sabbath. A Savior, a Sister in the Sabbath. Luke chapter 13, we're going to start with verse 10 this evening. How many believe God's Word's important?
Amen.
As Ron alluded to earlier there, this Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we'll be praying for the sick. If you're a know somebody needs a touch, bring them out. Or maybe you yourself need a touch from the Lord. I'm believing that healing virtue is going to flow.
Amen.
I know the Lord can still heal. I'm asking you to fast and pray. I'm asking you to be obedient to the Holy Spirit this week, to pray accordingly, and to let God do some great things. I believe the Lord can use you as well to flow through healing virtue to somebody else. How many believe that? So with that, we couple together, every joint supplies, it's like a body come together. And Kathy had a word that's like a cell in the body that's good, and it's rejuvenated, it affects other cells. Amen? My confession is not one sick among us. I said not one sick among us. Can God do that? I think we need to put a demand on God's word. And I believe most of all that He's waiting for us to respond to Him. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. People need a touch. We need a touch. And I want our latter days to be greater than our former. Am I just talking to me here? How many want your latter days to be greater than your former? Have the strength of a youth even though you're older. A little wiser, hopefully. In Luke chapter 13, verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Notice Jesus went to church. Notice he was teaching in the synagogue. Church should be part of your life, amen?
Amen?
Not just an occasional thing where you spend a little time and then do your own thing. Jesus is in the house of God. I mean, it's better than reading some good book at home or watching TV. Assembling of God's people is truly part of His divine institution. We know the scripture in Hebrews 10, verse 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as some have a manner, but how much more you see the day approaching. Today, more than ever, we need to assemble because He's here in His house. He says, I put my name there continually. Now, we know of two or three gathering in His name, there He is in the midst, but there's something about the body of Christ coming together, that there's power there. Notice Jesus is in the synagogue. He went to church that day. Say amen. Notice He's teaching. He's confirming the doctrine which He preached. Verse 11, and behold, there was a woman with a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and it bowed her down that she could nowise lift herself up. The woman is going to be the object of Jesus' love. What I appreciate about the Lord is that when He sees a need, He isn't quick to walk past it. For 18 years, this woman had a spirit of infirmity, a satanic hold on her body. An evil spirit had divine permission that brought upon her like He did in Job chapter 1, verse 6, and Job 2, 3 through 7. How many knows Job was afflicted? The Lord allowed it. Now, this is hard to imagine here, but there was a spirit of infirmity. She had it for 18 years. That's a pretty good time to suffer, wouldn't you say? She comes and she's going to meet the King. I know that Jesus is there, and behold, there's a woman having 18 years, and it bound her up. That spirit of infirmity kept her, that she couldn't stand erect. The disease was incurable. One translation said this, she was bent over with strong convulsions that she couldn't rise up. To some degree, you could say she was deformed. Undoubtedly very painful. How many is that she's still in the synagogue? How many are seeing it here? Even though she has a physical infirmity, she's still coming to church. Listen to me. Even if your body has some struggles in it, that should not keep you from public worship on the Sabbath. Are you with me? Listen, God can help us beyond our expectation. Even though she had a struggle, even though it was hard for her to come, she still came to church. Also, push through those things. Because she's going to get a miracle because she's in the right place at the right time. How many are hearing the word there?
Yeah.
How many of us, the Lord sees those who come to church?
Amen.
dare I say to you, she's going to say, I'm glad I came to church that day. Say amen. Because you can wallow at home, and I understand sickness. I understand not feeling well. But man, sometimes you just got to push yourself and say, I'm going. Say amen. To get in that arena and say, you know what? God knows where I'm at, and He will come and visit me. How many knows He's going to come and visit us? When you place yourself in that situation, how many knows it's better to be there than to be outside of there? Look at verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, He called to her. I love this. When He saw her, where did He see her at? He saw her at church. He didn't see her at the party store. He didn't see her at the grocery store. He saw her at church. Now, I know Jesus healed on the road. I know He healed in houses. I know He healed. But today, He's going to show up at church. And listen, Jesus is still moved with the same compassion today. If you have a struggle in your body or a family member has a struggle in their body, He is still moved with compassion. He still cares about that situation. Never feel like because you're not touched at this moment that He doesn't care. He cares. I said He cares. Sometimes we got to battle those thoughts out of our mind because sometimes the enemy will seed that like nobody cares. See. And it's so far from the truth. Say amen. Sometimes we can build vain imaginations up there and fortify it when it's so far off. Lord, Your word is true. He sees her at church. Listen to me. God can help. I said God can help. Notice it says nowhere does it say that she asked Him to help her. Nowhere does the scripture say that she came up to Jesus, please heal me. He sought her out. I said He sought her out. Why was she there? She was there to be taught and to receive. She came to church to receive from the Lord. She came to the church to hear the teachings. She came for the worship. And Jesus will seek you out. Hallelujah. How many knows you're in the right place at the right time? How many need the Lord to seek you out? Praise God. God knows what you need. Nowhere does it say that she called out to Him. Nowhere did she say she cried out to Him. But Jesus saw her. How many knows if you're seen by the Lord, that's a good thing. Notice that she's there for the teaching. She's struggling in her body, but she's still faithful to the house of God. I love this. Those who take care of their spiritual lives will also receive care for their physical bodies. If you don't care about your spiritual life, how many knows that you're not caring much about anything? Jesus can go past every doctor. How many knows Jesus can make you whole? I just don't want to be treated. I want to be made whole. Say amen. Amen. Jesus invites, listen to me, to come to Him. There's power that's available. He's going to call out this infirmity. And undoubtedly, listen, if you have a struggle, He'll help you too. I want you to come with expectation. If you have a physical infirmity, I want you to pray. And I also want you to pray for somebody else. I want you to lay hands and say, you know what? I have a struggle, but I'm still going to pray for you. You reap what you sow. When it comes to things, people don't understand. There's authority given by God, and there's delegated authority that's given. In this church, God's given me delegated authority to operate here. And I'm asking you to fast and pray. I'm asking you to seek the Lord. I also am asking you that you can pray for one another that we may be healed. Amen? I want to see not only us get touched, but our families, the things that extend past here. I want people to be at home when all of a sudden the Spirit of God overwhelms them and God touches them in their infirmities. Say amen. How many of the Lord can raise up? He can send a word. What are you expecting? What are you expecting from the Lord? Your expectations will be met. Say amen. How many of those who hope in the Lord will never be put to shame? Look at verse 12. And when He saw her, she called to her, woman, be loosed from your infirmities. He speaks to the problem. Woman, be loosed. We need to speak to our problem too. He speaks to that infirmity. Woman, be loosed from this infirmities. He's going to take all that power and come against the work of the enemy. It's going to free her. After 18 years of struggling, after 18 years of being faithful in God's house, hearing God's word, He saw her and He's doing something. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to wait 18 years to receive a miracle. Say amen. but I need to be in where God wants me to be, in God's house. He speaks to that area. Notice he calls that which wasn't as though it was. In Mark 11, verse 23, he said, "Speak to this mountain, be thou removed." And what happens? If you don't doubt in your heart, it happens. How many of us, God's able to speak a word over a situation? Notice first he saw her, he recognized, and then he speaks to that situation. Infirmities go. One of the most powerful prayers, if you got something wrong, speak to that. If it's an area of your life that's an infection, I curse that infection in Jesus' name. And you stand upon that word, no, in Jesus' name. That will die, I will live. Hallelujah. I'm hearing a word here. We speak that over salvation, God save our families, and speak healing over your families too. If there's a lack, speak to that lack. Go in Jesus' name. How many of you have power? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who understand that will live by that. They'll exercise that and eat the fruit of that. Hallelujah. She couldn't speak it of herself. He spoke it for her. Even when you go past what you can do, God can still speak a word in there. You need the Lord to speak into your situation. Oh, you're hearing a word here. Well, Lord, I don't know what you're saying. Look in the book. That's what he's saying. What he says in this book, he's saying to you. Oh, are you hearing a word here? And he may confirm it with a word in your spirit. But listen, God's word and God's spirit will always agree. Or you cast the spirit out. Or maybe you answered yourself. How many knows we're good at that too? If you're not sure, Lord, show me, teach me, help me. He'll speak to you. Is this good today? In Proverbs 4, verse 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline my ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find it and health to all their flesh." We keep that word before us. Keep it before your eyes. I'm serious. There are times where I look at Scripture when it comes to healing over and over and over and over. I am keeping it in front of my eyes and in the midst of my heart. The Scripture has promised it's life and health to all their flesh. How many want that? How many knows God's able to do it? There's promises in Scripture that we can hold on to. Spurgeon calls it like this: God's treasures are like a treasure box. They're all in there. You can look at the box or you can go inside and grab what's inside. Amen? I don't look at the nice box. I want to have the treasure in there. Hallelujah. When God speaks a word, how many knows there's benefits? In Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4, "Blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases." How many knows that's a truth? How about this? "Who redeems my life from destruction and crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies." I mean, want God to deliver you from all your destructions. Then if there's a destructive element happening in your body, come against it. It's not a promise from God for destruction. No, life is a promise. During this life, I want to have a good journey. Say amen. Amen. I want for everyone to live a long life, and when God's done to you, you close your eyes and you're up in glory. Is that too much to ask for? How many know suffering is a terrible thing? Come on, we've all seen it. If you've ever been a caretaker, it's a rough time. Lord, I speak life to that. Hallelujah. Verse 13. "And when he had laid his hands on her, immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Now, how many knows that he made a tender touch to her? It wasn't like he jammed himself upon her. She was bent over. I don't know if she could barely walk or she came in on a stretcher or a wheelchair of the day. I don't really know. But she couldn't straighten up. She was infirmed. Maybe she was bent over and she was crooked. It's hard to say because we don't have an accurate picture. But here's what Jesus always does. He comes in with love and compassion. And he speaks, "Lady, woman, be whole." And notice says immediately, she stood up. Did the bones crack and go? I don't know. But can you imagine seeing her being faithful in the church? She's always been bent over. Maybe the only thing she could look at was your feet. Say amen. And now she can stand up again like she used to 18 years ago. Hallelujah. When God delivers you from anything, it's usually all you have left is a memory and not the pain. Isn't that good about God? Hallelujah. He reaches up and he touches her. Be loosed from this infirmity. He is speaking to that which is holding her back. Just like any area of our life, God can speak healing over. We have those words of life. As you fast and pray, I want you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Many times we use a whole lot of words when just a few is all that's needed. Now, we can have long prayers. There's nothing wrong with that if it's intent with God. But how many of us, what they need is healing? Father, touch in the name of Jesus. Let's not water it down. Let's speak to the infirmity. Jesus is calling those things. He put his hands on her and say immediately, I want to see immediate things on Sunday. Immediately, amen? Without a doubt, without it's done, boom, it happened and we all go, glory to God. Hallelujah. Who's the first person going to give glory? It's the woman. When you're touched and you know it, you know it. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to go, well, maybe the Lord's waiting. There's a divine delay there. No, immediately, and she gave glory to God. How many of those that'll echo in the church? How many of those that's echoing in the synagogue? Aren't you glad she came to service? How many times was it hard for her to get up and go? There are some people in our fellowship that have the same struggles. Maybe not this one, but it's tough to come. But they shoulder it and they move in and I'm going. It's hurting, but I'm going. Sometimes we need to encourage that. If you can walk in without a struggle, man, help somebody who has a struggle. Encourage, say, you know what, you're in the right place at the right time. I mean, those prayer can go on every service. It doesn't have to wait to hear. It can be in the hallway of love. It can be in the fellowship. It can be in the parking lot. It can be on the phone. Hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. God's not limited by any place. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, verse 18, it talks about picking up things. No deadly thing will hurt you. But it also says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I love those words. I love it. Lay hands on the sick and they get worse. What a drag that would be. Amen? And Jesus gave us biblical examples. If you're taking notes, in Matthew 8, verses 14 and 15, when Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, his mother-in-law, was sick of a fever. And he touched her hand and the fever left her. She arose and made him dinner. It says, ministered unto him. I have to guess, maybe dinner. I mean, that's pretty good. In Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, a leper came beseeching him, knelt down before him. If you can you make me clean? And Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out his hand and touched him, says, I will. It's my will for you to be clean. And immediately the leprosy left, and he was cleansed. Have compassion in your heart for people. When people come to the altar Sunday night, have compassion in your heart that you want it worse for them than they want it for themselves. That's a heart that God can flow through. Jesus wanted her so well. Amen? Sometimes we need to seek some people out too. Don't wait for them. Go to them. It doesn't say this woman asked for prayer. It doesn't say she stood in a prayer line. It doesn't say any of that. Jesus saw her and went to her. Sometimes we also need to have that same heart. Amen? It could be the neighbor across the street the Lord asked you to pray for. Lord, they have biggie issues. I'm just used to praying for headaches. Don't look at the infirmity to dictate what the power can do. Sometimes we just got to pray for boldness. Amen? In my prayer time, I'm praying for boldness that prophetic utterances can be spoken over situations and boom, they change. Can God do it?
Yes.
I want Ernie's kidneys to be totally whole. Amen. I want Pastor Robert to be free from any problems and struggles. Amen. I want Pat Vest to be healed.
Yes.
Can God do that?
Yes.
Ruth struggles at times with MS. Be whole in Jesus' name.
Amen.
How many of us, that's a reality? Amen?
Yes.
Whatever your struggle, infirmity is, God has an answer. There's a miracle with your name on it.
Amen.
This isn't popular things. And believe me, there's an onslaught against me like never before. The enemy fights me on every level. Every level. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
I don't share that for self-glory. I share that for a reality. There's a spiritual dimension that operates. And when you start kicking over the rocks, everything begins to come out. Say amen. God wants to release more power to the church than the church is operating in right now, across the board. I want to walk in it. Amen? Sometimes somebody's got to be the beachhead. Not that we're more special than anyone else. That's not it. But do you want the Lord to use you? Then stand in that gap. Too often people cower down when struggles come because it's more comfortable to move away from the struggle. God says, face every challenge. Every challenge that we've ever faced, God's there to meet the need. Even when they rebuilt the wall in Jerusalem, Nehemiah had to deal with all kinds of stuff. Accusations, people trying to take their stuff, people doing this. But they continued. If we persevere, we will get what God has promised. Oh, that's a good word. Amen. Some of you have been struggling a long time with this situation. He's here. Hallelujah. I said, he's here. For her, 18 years seems to be too long. But you know what I've noticed? Instantly when you're healed, you can forget about the time. How many have that reality? Boom, you know what? Yeah, I struggled for it, but God healed me. It's all about that time of glorifying him. That spirit of infirmity, that evil spirit had her bound. But the power of Christ is superior to that of Satan. She couldn't lift herself up, but Jesus can. This woman being healed is fulfilling scripture. I found it. In Psalms 146 verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind and raises them that are bowed down. Hallelujah. How many knows it's fulfilling the word of the Lord? God said, I have a scripture for that one. Hallelujah. How many knows he has a scripture for your needs too? That is such good news. That means you have the word of God backing you that your situation can change. Say amen. When Christ cures, listen to me. You're cured indeed. When he heals, I'm healed indeed. But his grace is sufficient for us. For his power is made strong and mighty in our weakness. Paul said, I'd rather glorify in my weakness, glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell on me. You also, by fasting and prayer, you're denying yourself your natural desires of things so your power can be of Christ. That's what's needed. Have that in your heart. Be spiritually prepared. Not like, oh, you know, I want to pray for somebody, but, you know, I'm not walking in any faith. Lord, just touch them. If it's your will, bless them. Amen. Go on your way. Immediately be whole. There's a demand upon that. How many knows that there's a demand on the individual who's praying for them? To me, there should be more pressure on the person who's praying than the person who has to receive. Is this good? When you got saved, how easy was it? Did you just come forward or in your seat or at home or in your car? And did you just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me? Did you do that? What happened at that moment? How many of you asking me, like, how many were saved? If you're not sure you're saved, I'll pray with you tonight. Okay? But notice the faith that you had in operation So to get your life right with God was so easy and simple. Why do we make everything else so hard? When that prayer translated you from darkness to light, let's have the same faith and expectation. Let's not get all worked up about it. Well, what if the Lord doesn't do it? Well, what if he doesn't do it? What if it doesn't work? Wait a minute. It worked here, it'll work here. How many knows there's a relaxation in that too? Sometimes we get all pressurized when we should just say, the Lord's just going to do it. Hallelujah. Is this good? How many knows that pushes away a lot of fear? Is he the healer or are you? Then he wants to just use you as a vessel. Then, Lord, I don't want to be like a dam, but a river to flow. So I'm going to prepare myself ahead of time that the river can flow, that the power can flow. Hallelujah. For a lot of people, unsanctified hearts, they're still under the spirit of infirmity. Maybe their body is not contorted, but they're blinded to the truth. Things are still out of order. When God saves, he wants to heal and deliver. I believe that he wants to make the whole man. Hallelujah. God can lift you up to heaven, but you can't do it on yourself. The natural state of man is bent and crooked. For her, it's in her body. But more than ever, we live in a crooked and perverse generation. I'm going to agree there. We call evil good and good evil. More than ever, the church needs to arise and just live for the Lord. If the church just lives for the Lord, it'll stand out like a light in the community. Amen? We can't partake in foolishness. And the wrath of man never works the righteousness of God. It doesn't. Lord, let me stand what I believe, stand firm in that, and let your word work. Hallelujah. No abortion clinic ever shut down because somebody bombed it. All she did was wreck more lives. Say amen. But woe unto the enemy for who prays and stands firm on God's promises. How many knows you can shake nations with your prayer life? Yes or no? Amen. I've learned over the years that even godly people have suffered infirmity, grief, and fear. That's a reality. Psalm 38, verse 6, I'm troubled, I'm bowed down greatly, I mourn all day long. But it's not the end of the story. The Lord hears. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean your faith is awful. Doesn't mean that you've messed up or God doesn't care for you. We just got to look at that situation and say, you know what? It's not permanent. It can change. Don't make it a lifetime. Because in Psalm 38, it says this in verse 15. For in thee, O Lord, do I put my hope. You will hear, O my God. And we know if God hears, he answers. So you may be in a time of infirmity, but don't give up in that area. He'll hear and he will answer. Too many give up at the infirmity state. Don't do that. Keep going. Is this a good word? I can't say that you'll never be ill, but I'm here to say God will help you. Don't give up in it. Too many times the enemy will try to captivate us and captivate our minds, and then we have to settle. Well, this is just the way it is all my life. Don't settle. Don't settle. Speak to that area. Speak to that area. I'm serious. Speak to that area. Lord, touch. Amen? I don't deny the reality, but Lord, you know what I need. If it's something internal in my intestinal area, Lord, I speak to that area. Be whole. Can God do that? Can he touch any situation? Have you got enough biblical examples that he can even raise the dead? As your pastor, I want faith to arise. That's why I'm on this series right now, that faith will arise. Faith comes by, somebody say hearing. Look at verse 13. And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That's good news. Hallelujah. I already got a party plan. Honestly, I do. I can't wait to throw a testimony party. Can I get a witness for the Lord tonight? How many of the Lord can do it? I want to have it where people can testify, I was this, but God did this. Now, what about this lady? She all of a sudden is made straight. I wonder if she went, cool. What would you be doing? How many be dancing for the first time? How many be running for the first time? It's amazing to me when somebody's touched, you don't have to tell them what to do. They'll just do it. Would it be okay and be undignified if somebody, she got up and danced around the whole sanctuary? How about ran up and down the aisleways? Would that be okay in the service? See, sometimes we have to look at it and say, did God be the glory? How many be so happy? How many be crying, oh, it's so good, man. Besides Mark, all right? But how many would go home and say, remember, she was bent over, and now she's standing up straight? Hallelujah. The church needs that testimony. That we have the answer for today's ills of society. Hallelujah. It's good when your body is made straight. Your heart and your mind are free. That's a good day. It's a good day. She came to church today. How many have ever pushed through the flesh and went, you know, I'm so glad I went. You didn't feel like it, but you're so glad you went. Because God met you there. For her, she was being faithful in what she knew. She was listening to the teaching. She was in the house of God. But I'm here to tell you, the priest of the day wasn't believing too much. I'll get to that in a minute. Verse 14. And when the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and he said unto the people, what he's doing is, you know what? He's starting to speak in a loud voice. Not so much addressing Jesus himself, but speaking to the congregation. Hey, there's 6 days on which you can be made whole, not on the Sabbath. He's speaking in such a loud way that Jesus could overhear the conversation. The miracle brought offense. Religious people and religious leaders want to hold on to tradition more than the move of God. Even if a great miracle is done, it should have convinced him. But the only thing it did was show what was in his heart. The spirit of bigotry. The hatred for Christ. And no real concern for people. Amen? Notice the ruler said. He said with a loud voice. He's trying to make light of the miracle of Christ. That even quacks can do this. It's common. It's cheap. He's stretching the law beyond its intentions. But I love about Jesus. You know what? He'll even listen to your insults and not get offended. But he'll speak to that arena. Jesus doesn't cower down when it comes to confrontation either. It's not that he's looking to blast people out of the water, but he's looking to speak the truth and love in that situation. We all need to hear that. Sometimes we may not like the answer, but we need to hear it. The ruler is saying, you know what? This healing touch, it's forbidden on the Sabbath. Can you imagine that? Somebody gets a miracle in church and the pastor of the day says, you know what? That can't happen on this day. You can do it Monday through this day, but not on this day. Now, wouldn't you think the whole church would say, that's ridiculous? But it's amazing sometimes people will just cower down for fear they'll lose some of their own privileges. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. And the Lord answered him, you hypocrite. Wow, this is Jesus talking. Notice he doesn't say, oh, this is so lovely. I wish you'd rethink your thoughts. Maybe you're a little misguided, you hypocrite. He is the only one that has the power to speak this way because he knows what's in every man's heart. He is not being unruly or unfair or even mean. He is addressing the situation, you hypocrite. And then he's going to address the woman on which it's brought to. When Jesus speaks, he knows that this man is a real enemy of the gospel. He's cloaked his zeal on the Sabbath. He's so in tune with the Sabbath, but he's cloaked it. 6 days to be healed. Let me say this to you. It wouldn't have happened on any other day in that church. That's just another excuse. Man, you got 6 days to do it. It ain't going to happen on any other day. You have the King of Glory in this house. Amen? Look at verse 15. The Lord answered him, "You hypocrite. Has not each one of you have a donkey or a mule or an ox, and you lead him off to water on this day? It's common practice to feed your cattle even on the Sabbath. Only on rare occasions ever in Scripture were the animals forced to fast. In Jonah 3, verse 7, the Ninevites, the king of Nineveh said, you know what? The animals are not even going to eat either. Maybe God will have mercy on us. But other than that, you know, animals fasting isn't really a great spiritual power for anybody. You fast and pray. You have that ability. Listen, if your dog needed some food on a Sunday, we'll call that, would you feed your dog? If your cat needed a little bit of water, would you give your cat some water? Your goldfish or your frog or your turtle, whatever you're into, would you not feed your animal? So you're saying, Jesus is looking at this guy and saying, you know what? You would do this for an animal, but here's a human being that you won't even consider doing that for on this day? I mean, sometimes it just needs to be bold and straight up. Verse 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond of infirmity on the Sabbath? You show compassion to the animals, but not to the humans? It's wrong. This woman has a greater grievance than any animal. How callous can we be? And Jesus makes it plain. She's a daughter of Abraham. You know what? Here's a good ch-ch-ch. She's your sister. Because you all claim you have Abraham as your father. She's a daughter of Abraham. That makes her your sister. So you're saying to your sister, can't be whole on this day. You won't deny favor for your animals, yet this woman's a daughter of Abraham. You have pride in him, but you don't want her touched. How many think Jesus is cut through the chase? And here's a thought for you. Did Jesus know she was infirm for 18 years? Did somebody tip him off? Or did the Father impart to her, she's been bound this long? How many knows even information that Jesus needs, it'll be given to him? Just like you. You can be praying for somebody. God drops something in your spirit. Boom, it'll happen for them. Amen? Can God do that? If you're loving people, the Lord can make that. And if you're mature enough to handle it, he can give you a little more revelation during the time of need. If you're a blabbermouth, don't expect much. Amen? Are you enjoying tonight? It's kind of quiet here. She's a daughter of Abraham. That means she's entitled to the Messiah's blessing. Is he not the king, the high priest, Jesus, Melchizedek? So he's walking in and he's finding a gentleman in God's house who's not living up to the standard, who's coming in against the teachings. And now here's a woman. Here's a woman that needs to be loosed, that can't be loosed in the house of God. Jesus will address it and speak to it. In Matthew 15, verse 26, to the children belongs the bread. She deserved this. She deserved the healing. Then we also need to walk in this. Are you a child of God in this room? Yes, yes or no?
Yes.
Then you have rights as a child of God. Healing is promised to his children. The children shall eat the bread. We know the crumbs can bring enough to bring healing. Then I have a God-given right as a child of the King that, Lord, your promises are for me. Doesn't the Bible say that you've been grafted in Hebrews? That means there's no difference between Jew and Greek, bond and free, Jew or Gentile. The same promises that came to Abraham now belong to you in Christ Jesus. That is awesome. That means every covenant of promise that they walked in, that they meditated on, that they thought about, belongs to you now. Don't settle for less. He's trying to bring some teaching into that synagogue, wouldn't you say? That people are more important than your traditions. You've stretched the law so much it's now null and void. The law was given as a schoolmaster, a teacher to bring us to Christ. But man made it so jot and tittle that it took out the love. It took out the mercy. Oh, I go down that road. Amen? Look at verse 16. You ought not, this woman being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound. Who bound her? The enemy. He had his hands in this affliction. But I love this. In 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Say amen. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of the devil. This lady was infirmed, and now God's going to come and set her free. Just like anyone else, hallelujah, he'll come and set you free. No longer bound by the enemy, God says, I can be free. He who the Son sets free is what?
Free indeed.
We need to rejoice in the God of our salvation. We need to appreciate all that he's done. She's been sick for 18 years. She shouldn't have to wait one more day. If I take the counsel of the Pharisee, I take the counsel of the high priest, if I take their counsel, I have to come back on another day to be healed. That makes zero sense. What about now? Amen? She's already waited long enough, wouldn't you say? Yes or no? Hey, when God's speaking and he's moving, move with him. Amen? Now, here I'm going to challenge you a little bit. When we pray for people, you may feel impressed to pray for somebody. Don't negate that. Don't go, well, that would be nice. Amen? Now, I'll give you a little thing here. Men, try with all that's within you to pray for another man. Now, I know if there's 10 women up here and you're praying, how many knows that sometimes you'll pray for a lady? But be sensitive for her. Amen? Come on up here, Lynn. She's going to be my illustration because I can lay hands on her. It's like, don't do this. Oh, praise the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
How many knows that Jesus touched her hand? That's enough, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
And then you can ask, hey, can I pray for you? Would you mind if I... How many knows that preps the situation? But I don't need to be doing this. Say amen. How many knows we can get in the flesh and do all kinds of goofy stuff? Now, if she's uncomfortable, she's not receiving. Notice Jesus had compassion on her. He spoke to her and he touched her. Boom, so gently. Boom, stood up. Hallelujah. Say amen. Thank you for your illustration. I know you love me. She wants me. Verse 17. Are you enjoying tonight?
Yes.
I only got a few more and I'll close here. Verse 17. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. I mean, God knows how to speak a word in that situation. He's not trying to hurt them. He's trying to bring correction to them. You are wrong in this. He put them to silence. But here's the difference. It wasn't the shame. This shame didn't work repentance. It worked like indignation. Because later in Scripture, you're going to see they wanted to kill him. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. God brought this not to shame them, but to bring that place of correction and change. They just got, who do you think you are? How many of us we can do the same even in church? We can take the Word of God like honey to a bee, just, so good. Or we can be a wasp and just sting. How will you receive correction from the Lord? Will you take it and go, oh man, I'm so wrong? Wouldn't it have been great if the whole church went, dude, we're wrong. So sorry. We are idiots. Yes or no? But it's amazing to me how people will be so just digging. No. You shouldn't do that on this day. How dare him heal on the Sabbath? Jesus will face that another time when he's in the synagogue and the guy has a withered hand. And they said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And he looked around and he saw how their hearts were so hardened. And he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. Hallelujah. And it was restored like the other one. This lady didn't care if it was Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or Wednesday. It did not matter. And to God, it didn't matter either. He'll heal on any day. Hallelujah. You just happen to assemble on this day. The shame wasn't to make them feel like they couldn't arrive or go on, but he brought correction. But notice the people. And all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. The people that had better sense, the spiritually minded people rejoiced. And now, what if he spoke that to the whole congregation? The high priest made sure Jesus heard, hey, you got 6 days to be whole. He made sure Jesus heard that in earshot. He told all the people. But now the people that are spiritually minded go, we thank God for what he did. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. I want a church like that. Don't cast your brain out at the door. God's given you a brain. Be spiritually minded. Amen? Everything that brings honor to Christ is for the comfort of the Christians. Our hearts and our mouths need to glorify God. That's what needed to happen in this church. We need to glorify Him again. Hallelujah. We need to bring that back to the house. We set that up in that area. Glorify you, Lord Jesus. In your private time, thank Him for the healing. Thank Him for the deliverance. Thank Him that He's going to honor His word. Hallelujah. And we'll just walk through the manifestations. Amen. How many received anything tonight? God teaching you, God feeding you. Hopefully you can remove me from the picture. God drop a word in your spirit. Because that's what I want. Church, we can be that. How many are glad she went to church that day? Don't let your infirmities, I know it's a struggle. I know. But don't let that stop you. Keep going. Can I share this with you and not sound like self-proclaimed? During my cancer treatment, how many saw me get up and leave a few times? Those were times I went to the bathroom and threw up that I could come back in and preach. The only reason I'm sharing this is because I know this reality. I'm not trying to make this that I'm so tough and look at you, you're so mighty. That's not it at all. I'm standing over the toilet. Lord, you can strengthen me by your power, by your might. And I've walked this out. Jesus still heals. Amen. I determined not to let my infirmity keep me from the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm not trying to speak for you. I'm trying to speak for biblical examples. Are you with me?
Yes.
Because I want to push through too. I can't preach it unless I live it. I can't tell you what you should do biblically if I'm not walking through that myself. So I have that area. I'm so glad she came to church. She was bent over. She was infirmed. But you know what? She was still teaching and hearing the word. And Jesus saw. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus saw me in the bathroom. Hear me on this. And there were times he would come down and he would minister great grace and strength. And I could walk like I was not sick at all. Hallelujah. He's no respecter of persons. None. Church, we can walk in another level. I want us to. I want us to be free I have more compassion than ever for people who have struggles. I do. I want miracles so bad for people, it's like it keeps me up sometimes. Your names and your faces come before me in the midnight hour. They do. It's so vivid. Lord, touch them. Bring what they need. God, you're the healer. Let's set the environment for God to move. Will you do that, church? Will you be obedient to fast and pray? Lord, what's my portion? It could be one meal. It could be a day. I don't know what it is for you. Be obedient to whatever that is. And pray and intercede. Amen? And let's start seeing people. Jesus saw her. The Holy Spirit gave her insight. 18 years she's been like this, son. I want her whole. Tradition says this, but I'm going to do this. Hallelujah. And I'll close with this. You ministers in here, when the Lord uses you, be careful and watch out that offenses, they will come. When Jesus did a miracle, instantly the enemy tried to get him offended. But he wasn't having none of that. You also. The quickest way to lose power is to become offended. I'm not going to be offended. Amen. I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm going to let all that go by. Hallelujah. Because there's going to be another woman to pray for. Another man to get touched. Another family member that needs Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you imagine people being offended at a healing service? Makes no sense at all. Be on guard against the enemy's schemes. Praise the Lord. God good? I mean, if you would lift your hands as we close. Father, I pray a corporate healing over this body. I speak to every infirmity go in the name of Jesus. Every sickness go. Every disease go. Lord, internal organs to line up. Stomachs in the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches to go. Eyes to be healed. Lord, personal issues to be made whole. Lord, legs and arms and backs. Father, we speak healing upon, Lord God, lungs and hearts. Lord, even, Lord God, our throats, Lord God, our mouths. Be whole in Jesus' name. Lord, any infirmity, any sickness, Lord, our legs to be strengthened. Lord, chronic illnesses to be gone. We speak healing upon now that by your stripes we are healed. Now begin to receive those things. Begin to speak to those things like Jesus spoke to that infirmity. Be loosed now. Your faith works. Don't battle in your own mind. Just speak to those things and trust the Lord your God. Your faith does work. And Father, your blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with them in strength and power. Lord, keep each one strong, Lord God, as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we speak a word over Pat Vess. Be whole in Jesus' name. Lord, raise her up from her afflictions. Mary Gardner, raise her up from her afflictions. In the precious name of Jesus. Lord, for Charlene King, she's here tonight. Father, be whole for Charlene King. Lord, for Ernie, be whole. For Pastor Robert, be whole. If you know somebody comes to mind, speak over them. Call them forth. Call them forth in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's a family member. Somebody you know. Somebody you prayed for. Somebody that is infirm. Speak a word over them. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Send your word and heal them. Lord, even from this service, God. Miracles upon miracles to be done in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name, we love you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we exalt you tonight, far above the heavens. Like this woman, she instantly glorified you. We glorify you tonight. We glorify you. If you would stand to your feet as we close. Just glorify him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that you're going to do. What you've done in the past, you'll do again. Thank you, Lord God. We rejoice in your healing virtue. We rejoice in your power in the name of Jesus. Oh, honor and glory and praise be unto you, Jesus, for each thing done, O God. For you are a great God, a mighty God. In Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you for your attentiveness tonight. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday. Be ready to go. Amen.